Praise the Lord and we glorify the Lord. Bow before the Lord for a few seconds, asking the Lord to send us His power and His Spirit that we may not only read His word but make it our word. That His word can become our word, our words now. Lord, we praise and thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time together. Still, we are in our own homes. But we are together as one community of faith. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing all of us from all over the world. May your name be loved and praised always and everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Derek, for your words of welcome. Yes, I am back, and this is my first public appearance now after the COVID situation, and I was sick for a while. As you can see, yes, I am better, but only I think some more time might be needed to go full swing. But I'm happy to be here today with you. It's a beautiful occasion. It's a feast of John Mari Vianney, the patron saint of all priests. So many have wished us and wished me too personally, and I thank you all. And those who have not wished us, you can still do so. There are still about 3.5 hours to midnight. The lines are open till midnight tonight. So all are welcome to do so. If you have not done yet, to your priest whom you know and who have served you, you can still wish them and greet them. But more than greeting, we can certainly do one thing. We can also pray for them, and as we do, we do continue to pray for all the priests all over the world. As we know, the world is going through this pandemic, and the anxiety, the uncertainty that is created by this, no one knows, not even the world leaders know, how long this situation will continue and what will happen. People are hypothetically making comments and statements, but no one knows. It looks very dark and gloomy and cloudy, overcast, or whatever you may call it. But there is also hope. As we probably have heard the statement, every dark cloud, or even a dark cloud, has a silver lining. And I think we see the silver lining around the horizon now. In spite of all the anxiety and fear, the Olympic Games are going on. And of course, when any athlete or sports person wins a medal, be it gold or silver or bronze, we are all very happy. And the medals are rewarded to these people, to the sports people, on their merit, on the performance, on what they do. If they excel, if they beat others, if they can do better than the others. But somehow, we know all cannot receive gold medals. Only one, or maybe sometimes shared if the case happens, by two. Similarly, the other medals. We all know this, and we all know also in our practical daily life, it is depending on our performance that we are rewarded or sometimes not rewarded. We are promoted or demoted. If you are working in an office, if your performance is good, you are working faithfully, honestly, sincerely, and then you get results, you are punctual, you are transparent in your dealings, you are respectful towards the authorities, then you know you can hope for a promotion when time comes. Of course, sometimes it also depends on, especially in our country and in our situations, the connections. If you have good connections, of course, you get good promotion. But I will not touch on that aspect. It can lead us to somewhere else. I would like to stick to this aspect only. Now, the reading that we have today is actually the gospel reading of tomorrow. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 23. Here, this is a very crucial passage, very central passage in the Gospels, especially the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke. So much so, some biblical scholars call this passage, especially in the Gospel of Mark, a watershed. In a sense, it is like a hinge that keeps the previous part of the Gospel and what follows from here together. It brings together two halves of the Gospel. And this passage we see in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 23, which is a very familiar one to us, to most of us, is where Jesus asked the disciples a question. Very rarely we come across Jesus asking the disciples about anything. But here he asks a question. The first question he asked them is, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And of course, this is a third person question. Who do people, others, say about the Son of Man? Again, the third person. Jesus doesn't say, who do people say who I am? He says, the Son of Man. He refers to himself, of course, as the Son of Man. And they answer in a very parrot type of answer. They said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In other words, Jesus is compared to one of the prophets, as a prophet. He's seen as a prophet, basically. Whether it is Elijah or Jeremiah, they were prophets, or one of the prophets means anyone. In fact, John the Baptist also was prominently known as a prophet. In the Song of Zechariah, Zechariah himself claims or proclaims, and you, little child, you shall be called a prophet of God. So about John the Baptist, we know that he was known as the prophet of God. So was Elijah, so was Jeremiah, and many others in the Old Testament. So Jesus is compared to a prophet by the people. And it is as if the disciples are now reporting to Jesus, yeah, this is what people say. Now, who gave the answer among the disciples, we are not clear. When Jesus is asking the question, who do people say? They said, which means one of them might have said, you are John the Baptist. Another might have said, you are Elijah. Another might have said, you are Jeremiah, like this. In other words, let us imagine a classroom situation where the teacher is asking question and different students are giving different answers or part of the answers. So this is what happens in the first part. But then Jesus asks a pointed question afterwards. The second question is, but who do you say that I am? Now here Jesus changes two things very clearly and categorically. First he said, who do people say that the Son of Man is? But here in the second question, it is in contrast to the people, who do people say? Here it is, who do you say? Now the question is to the disciples, not about the people's opinions, but what do you say? And Jesus doesn't say, who do you say that Son of Man is? No, Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Now here, Jesus is asking about himself. So here, brothers and sisters, we have to understand one thing very clearly. Jesus is asking the question about his person. Who do you say that I am? It is a question about asking who I am, who am I? It's about the person. And we know in the Gospels, Jesus never asked the question when he performed something. For example, when he fed the 5,000 with the, five loaves of bread and two fish. When people are satisfied and they were happy and, all those things happened. Jesus did not call the disciples and say, how was my performance today? Was it not great? Or when Jesus walked on the water, just day before yesterday, we had the reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. Jesus was coming and walking on the water to the disciples. And then Jesus doesn't say, how was my walking on the water? Jesus is not asking such questions about his performance. In fact, Jesus had performed so many miracles. In no narrative, in no circumstance, Jesus is asking the question, how was it? What's your opinion? Can anyone else do it? No. Jesus is not asking a question to the disciples on his performance. But Jesus is asking a question on his person. As I told you earlier, in the world that we live in, a person is concerned about his performance. A politician would not ask a question, for example, I don't know, but I imagine if he is giving a speech for an election rally or for a function, he would not ask his close friends or his security or somebody who is along with him. He would not ask, who am I? Of course, they will say, you are the minister, you are a MP, or you are MLA. But he would probably ask the question, how was my speech? So normally we would ask the question about our performances, my dear brothers and sisters. But Jesus never asked a question about his performance. He asked a question about his person. Who do you say that I am? And I think when we reflect deeply on this, this question becomes very, very crucial. Crucial not only for the disciples, but crucial also for you and I. Everyone who believes in the Lord, this question is of paramount importance. Because we don't believe in the Lord basing ourselves based on the performance of Jesus, what he did. But we confess, as Derek was just now at the end of the present worship saying, let every one of us confess the blessings of the Lord. And it is Paul who tells us, and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. So here, Paul understood that it is not based on the performance of Jesus. It is our faith is based on the person of Jesus. This is a very crucial aspect in our Christianity, in our religion. Sometimes we know there is the tendency to compare. And when we compare, we say Islam, for example, or Sikhism, for example. We normally say that they are religions of the book because they give so much importance to Quran or to the Guru Granth Sahib or some scripture of theirs. And I think even Hinduism comes close to this understanding. But for us, we are not keeping our faith or believing in the book, but we are looking at the person which the book tells us about. Nowhere Jesus has said that you write a book about me and read it and you will know who I am. Nowhere. At least not that I know of. The books, and in fact, he himself has not written the autobiography. If Jesus wanted to tell us about himself, he could have done a marvelous job of writing a beautiful, wonderful gospel, far better than any one of the gospels that we have. But we know that Jesus hardly wrote about himself. But what he did do was he showed who he was. In other words, in biblical language or in technical language, we say he revealed. And therefore, here in this question, the question of revelation comes in. So when Jesus is asking the question, who do you say that I am? Here, instead of all the disciples or some of the disciples answering Jesus, it is Simon Peter, again, an individual who stands up and says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Look at this answer, my dear brothers and sisters. Jesus asks the question, who am I? Who do you say that I am? And Peter gives a very precise, a comprehensive answer. You are the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Son of the living God. In other words, Jesus's identity is revealed in this answer of Peter. And this is what Jesus wanted them to know. Because when Peter is answering like this, Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." Congratulations, Peter. Your answer is really good. But then Jesus gives a clarification. Why is Jesus calling Peter blessed? Because he says, "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Peter had given the answer, but Peter's answer did not come from research that he had undertaken. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, when I went for my doctoral studies, I had to do a research when I had to write the thesis. I have read a good number of books, some useful ones, some not so useful ones. But I wrote my thesis on the identity of Jesus, using the Gospel of Luke predominantly. But there I was doing the research. I was trying to find out who said what about Jesus. So many people have written so many books about Jesus. And here, Peter, of course, didn't have a library at his disposal. And I don't know whether there was any book available at that time to do a study on Jesus, though Old Testament was there and I think they were familiar with it. But then now Jesus tells, it is not flesh and blood. It is not your effort. It is not your task that you had undertaken to find out about me. Your answer is right because it is revealed to you by the Father. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. In this context, my dear brothers and sisters, one more aspect we have to appreciate in the Gospels. And that is the identity, the true identity of Jesus is revealed first and foremost by God the Father himself. Where do we know this? How do we know this? We know this because when Jesus came to the River Jordan to John the Baptist for baptism, right after the baptism, in all the synoptic gospels, Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, and Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 22. In these three passages, we see the theophany. God the Father comes down to reveal who Jesus is. In the Gospel of Mark, it is God the Father talks to Jesus and says, "You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased." Mark 1:11. In Matthew, it is slightly different. "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." As if God the Father is telling the people around there about who Jesus is. In the Gospel of Luke, it is similar to Mark. "You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." So my dear brothers and sisters, what Jesus is saying here, what he has affirmed here, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." So only God the Father really could reveal to us who Jesus is. So when Jesus is asking the question, "Who do you say that I am?" the answer actually can come only from God the Father. Because as we read in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, John writes, "No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. But God, the only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has made him known." John chapter 1, verse 17, 18. So it is only God the Father who can reveal Jesus to us, and only Jesus who can reveal God the Father to us. So when we know that Jesus is the Son of God, we know that God is the Father, and God is therefore also becomes our Father through Jesus. So this is the relationship that we have, my dear brothers and sisters. And therefore, our faith is and must always be based on this relationship that we have with Jesus, this faith that we have in the person of Jesus. We don't acclaim Jesus because of all his miracles. We admire the miracles, yes. We might say, oh, what a great thing. But Jesus himself, we know, never took any credit for any of his miracles. In fact, so much so he would say in the Gospel of John chapter 14, we see that he tells the disciples, even you can do greater miracles than what I have done. So miracles themselves are not a sign of any greatness. And we know even to this day, there are miracles happening. Of course, they're performed by God, no doubt. But miracles happen. And Jesus was not the only one who performed miracles, as he himself tells us in the Gospels. So miracles are never a measure of standard. It is the person of Jesus that we believe in. So the pointed question that Jesus asked today and that we need to answer every day is, who do you say that I am? And in the words of Peter, we can also claim and say, Lord, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. And only when we believe this, and if we believe this, then we can go along with Jesus in the second part of the gospel that we know. Because after this, from verse in our passage that we have, verses 21 to 23, Jesus is making the first passion prediction, where Jesus says to the disciples, he began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And now the challenge comes. Now again, Peter comes up on the scene. Peter, who had proclaimed just a few minutes earlier that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now Peter is not very comfortable with what Jesus is saying. So Peter takes Jesus aside and says, no, Lord, wait. I think this doesn't go well with my answer I had given you earlier. And he says, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. God forbid it, Lord. May God not bring this onto you. When I had COVID now, brothers and sisters, when some of my friends and some of you also, I think, came to know that I got COVID, they asked the question, how did you get it? Where did you go to get this COVID? Some weird statements, which was almost bordering on saying that I have almost committed a mortal sin. You know, where did you go? What did you do? So COVID, we can get anywhere. And I got it. I don't know from where. I don't know which mosquito bit me. Anyway, now, this is the thing. Now here, God forbid. So Peter also says, God forbid. This must not happen to you. You should not suffer. But then we know what Jesus says. But Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Why? Because for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. So my dear brothers, we have a warning here. It may be easy for us to confess that Jesus is Lord. And I think all of us believe that. I have no doubt about it. But believing in Jesus as the Son of God is not enough. Our faith should be really firm. And no matter what happens, and especially now that we are suffering, some of us are asking the question, where is God? Many of us are asking the question, why do we have to suffer like this? We can't go anywhere. We can't meet our people. We can't freely move around. We can't have a holiday. We can't go for any picnic. Children cannot go to school. So many things we could have done and we are not able to do. And this is the challenge of faith. I had this challenge for myself, because I said, you know, why me? But then I didn't lose hope. I didn't lose faith. I knew people are praying for me. I too was praying. And I know this sickness is but another experience in life. I'm happy that I went through AIDS because I have suffered typhoid, I had suffered malaria, and now I went through COVID. So I know what it is like. Different sicknesses are different things. And we gain experience. But more than experience, we realize that Jesus is there, the Lord is there to protect us. Because our faith is based on our faith in a person of Jesus and not on the performance of Jesus. And now I firmly believe still that the Lord has healed me. In fact, I had a thought, what would have happened if I had died? Some of you would have definitely cried. Of course, you would have tried to come for the funeral maybe. But nothing would have happened. Nothing would have happened. One day we'll have to die and I also will die. But the Lord has kept me alive because he wants me to proclaim his word. And I'm grateful to you all. And I thank God that I'm able to sit for half an hour today with you and proclaim this word today. Because that is what the Lord wants me to do. And I thank the Lord along with you. And I request you to thank the Lord for me and for everyone. That and be sure, no matter what happens, my dear brothers and sisters, no matter what we go through, the Lord is always there because our faith is in the Lord, the Son, the Messiah, the Son of God. God bless you all. May we continue to proclaim his word and may he always take care of us and may we be his true disciples. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.